so gracious and kind, he will never leave us nor forsake us. Let's bow together. Father, we thank you again for this morning. We thank you again for the privilege we have to come together to sing your praises, Lord, and now to hear your word. And I pray as we come to your word, you'd help me bring it forth exactly as you desire, exactly what you intended, Lord God, and that we would all respond in a way that is pleasing to you. We would respond by faith. We know that apart from faith in you and your Son, we cannot please you, Lord God. And so we trust that you will use your word greatly. So bless it as it goes forth in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you were to go do a survey of everyone out there this morning that went to church, you'd find there's quite a large portion of churches in which people feel like they need to go sacrifice for the Lord. They need to do things for the Lord, and it's almost as if that's their entire relationship, what they do for God. And unfortunately, many of these churches in which they're doing stuff for God, they're riddled with disobedience. There are clear passages in Scripture that are being disobeyed while people come and serve the Lord, quote-unquote, while people come and sacrifice for Him. But if you've come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ through faith, Scripture makes it clear that God desires obedience rather than sacrifice. It's not that we don't sacrifice. He's saying He desires obedience rather than us doing whatever it might be religiously. We're going to see that obedience is key to our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 6, the Lord Jesus says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? That's a good question for all of us. If we're disobeying God, why would we call Him Lord? And for those who are continually doing religious things but yet disobeying Him, why would you call Him Lord? We know what Samuel shares the Lord when he shares the Lord's words to Saul. He said, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice. To obey is better than sacrifice. Now, Scripture reveals in the book of Romans, chapter 1, chapter 16, that obedience, that faith leads to obedience. The obedience of faith. That genuine faith in Jesus Christ, that faith comes from hearing and hearing from the Word of Christ, believing what God has revealed in His Word, walking with Him in that context leads to obedience. But you might be saying, what does biblical obedience look like? What does it look like? Well, today we're going to see that in our second portion of Ezekiel's call. So would you turn your Bibles with me to Ezekiel chapter 2, and we're going to be looking at verses 8 through 3:15 today, okay? Now remember, the Israelites were warned when they were entering the land through Moses and Deuteronomy by the Lord that if they disobeyed Deuteronomy 28, they would be expelled from the land violently. And God, for many, many years, through the prophets, warned Israel of their unbelief. They weren't listening to Him, as we'll see. They weren't obeying Him. And finally, in 722 B.C., the Lord had the northern kingdom expelled by Assyria. And then we see in 605 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar puts the first siege on Jerusalem. It's during that time that Daniel and his friends are taken to Babylon. And Ezekiel is still in Jerusalem. Then in 597 B.C., Jerusalem sieged again, 2 Kings 24, and 10,000 Jews were taken captive to Babylon. That's the exile that Ezekiel was taken in. And then we saw in chapter 1, 5 years later, Ezekiel begins his ministry at the age of 30, as the Lord calls him. We're going to see that today as the Lord is calling Ezekiel unto Himself to share His word. Then in 588 to 586 B.C., for 18 months, we have the third siege of Jerusalem, which ends in the destruction of the temple, the city destroyed, and the final exile with many slaughtered. Now, there were three deportations, 605, 597, and 586. And the book of Ezekiel, as I've mentioned every time, is centered around this third and final 18-month siege. The first 24 chapters are oracles or prophecies leading up to the siege. Chapters 25 through 32 are basically prophecies during that 18-month siege. And then chapters 33 to 48 are prophecies after the fall of Jerusalem. Now, Ezekiel is prophesying to a captive people concerning the sins of those who are to be judged by God in an awful siege, in which many would be killed and the remaining would be brutally taken captive from Judah to Babylon. And yet the amazing thing is, as we see in Jeremiah, is those in Jerusalem are still listening to the voices of false assurance, peace and safety. You're going to be delivered from Babylon in 2 years. The false prophets saying it's not going to happen, contradicting God's word. Those whom God did not send, because Jeremiah 20, if he did send them, they would have spoke his words and turned his people from their sin. And so they're listening to this, but this false assurance had spread to the exiles. And so we have Ezekiel here in chapter 1. We saw that his ministry began with an incredible vision, right? Visions of God, it says, right? And we saw, and he was in exile on the river Shabar, and he sees a great storm coming from the north, signifying judgment, as we've seen, a storm with flashing fire and glowing metal on the inside. And remember, in his visions of God, he saw the four cherubim, each with four wings and four faces, moving and turning without turning, absolutely sovereign in the direction God leads him, and the coals of fire as they darted about like lightning. And between the cherubim were four wheels full of eyes that went up and down from the earth when the Spirit led and moved the cherubim. And above these angelic beings, these cherubim, who immediately and faithfully carried out God's will, was an expanse like crystal, like glass. This is chapter 1. And above the expanse, we saw there was one on the throne as of appearance of a man. And we looked at that and we saw it was God the Son, the pre-incarnate appearance of God the Son. Do you remember the point of the vision? God's on the throne. God's on the throne. More specifically, he reigns over all and he is sovereign over the judgment that is coming upon Judah and Jerusalem. He is sovereign over it. And yet, we saw his glory. We saw his compassion, like a rainbow, right? That was pictured like that. That God is faithful and merciful, even in the midst of judgment. Faithful, merciful God. And so, Ezekiel falls down on his knees to worship. And then he heard a voice speaking. And then last week, we had the Lord speaking to him as the Spirit lifted him up. There's a time to bow down. There's a time to get up and listen to the Lord. And the Spirit lifted him up. And we see that within that. And he is commanded by the Lord concerning what he is going to do. And that's what we're going to review and look at today, what portion that comes after what we saw last week. Again, last week we saw that the call consists of, first of all, listening to God's word. You got to hear it. Then going where he sends, and then speaking what he says without fear. That's what those first 7 verses are about that we saw last week. Listen to God's word, go where he sends you, and speak what he says without fear. And now the Lord is going to continue this call. It hadn't stopped. We stopped because we ran out of time, but it hadn't stopped. So we're going to come in verse 8. Chapter 2 of Ezekiel, verse 8. And now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. Then I looked, behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. When he spread it out before me, it was written on the front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Verse chapter 3, then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go and speak to the house of Israel. So I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll. And he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with this scroll which I am giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. For you are not being sent to a people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel, nor to many peoples of unintelligible speech or difficult language whose words you cannot understand, but I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you since they're not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate. Behold, I've made your face as hard as their faces and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. Like emery harder than flint, I've made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them or be dismayed before them, though they are a rebellious house. Moreover, he said to me, Son of man, take into your heart all my words, which I shall speak to you, and listen closely. And go to the exiles, to the sons of your people, and speak to them, and tell them whether they listen or not. Thus says the Lord God. Then the Spirit lifted me up, and I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in his place. And I heard the sound of the wings of the living beings touching one another, and the sound of the wheels beside them, even a great rumbling sound. So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away, and I went embittered in the rage of my spirit, and in the hand of the Lord, and the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Shebar at Tel Abib, and I sat there for 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. That seems like a lot, but it's really a flow here, as we're going to see. It's the last portion of his calling, at least in this portion, where he's told what to do. We're going to see that. And in this portion, we're going to see, I believe, what obedience looks like. Because I don't think people really understand at times what true obedience looks like. People obey what they want to obey. They obey. They think they're obeying. They say, Lord, Lord, I'm doing all this stuff for you. I'm obeying you. But are they really obeying him? We're going to see what real obedience is. Notice, first of all, obedience begins with listening to the word with the intent of obeying. And here, Ezekiel's commanded to listen to the word, unlike the rebels who don't listen. Unlike them. Verse 8, now you, son of man, chapter 2, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I am giving you. So again, our text begins with this phrase, son of man. He says, now you, son of man. You could translate it, and you, son of man, or but you, son of man. We saw this term, son of man, Ben Adam, speaks of humanity. Speaks of the frailty of mankind. We're but dust. It's used to speak of Ezekiel over 80 times. And the amazing thing is that God, the Son, took on human flesh, the Lord Jesus, and he was called the Son of Man, fully man, but yet fully God. He became like us. He became like us. Frail human humanity, yet without sin, depending on the Father completely. And so here, remember, Ezekiel is reminded he's the Son of Man and God is on the throne. To serve the Lord, we got to get that right. We're not on the throne. We're not leading, in a sense. We're not deciding what we do. We are his people doing what he calls us to do. He is on the throne. How arrogant to think we can do anything other than what he tells us to do in his word. When we do anything other than that, it is pure pride and arrogance and sin. God has clearly relayed how we are to serve him. He's clearly relayed how we are to use the gifts that we have been given, and we are simply frail human beings that need to rely on him 100%. And so here, he says, son of man, and he says, or but you, son of man, which implies a contrast to what was spoken beforehand. Remember, he had just shared that they was to take the word to the exiles, but they weren't going to listen because they're rebellious. But you, Ezekiel, not like them, you listen, right? Don't be like them who don't listen. Be those like those who listen. Listen, Ezekiel. Now you, son of man, listen to what I am speaking to you. Do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. The implication is you need to listen. Not like they listen. They don't listen at all, even though they say they're listening. They don't listen. They don't listen because they don't obey, as we'll say. Now this word listen here is a familiar word, shema. Often it's translated obey. And we understand that. When you say to your children, listen to me, go take the trash, you're saying obey what I'm saying. It's implied in there, right? And God is saying that here. Don't be like that rebellious house. It's strengthened, right? Listen, but don't be like them. Don't be like Israel, right? Now, what does he mean by how Israel was in rebellion? Well, they didn't listen to the Lord. Look at chapter 3, verse 4. Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel, speak my words to them, for you are not being sent to an people of unintelligible speech or difficult language, but to the house of Israel, nor to many peoples of unintelligible speech or difficult language, whose words you can understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you. Hey, they're naming the name of the Lord. You know, if people say, hey, I'm a Christian, well, they should want to listen to God's word, right? A lot of people that say they're Christians don't want to have anything to do with God's word. They want the show on Sundays. They want the ear tickling, right? Just like Israel here. They should want to listen. They claim to be God's people. But he says, I have sent you to them who should listen to you, yet the house of Israel, verse 7, chapter 3, will not be willing to listen to you, and here's why. Since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is obstinate, stubborn and obstinate. You know, when people don't want to hear the word of God, and it's hard on those who are teaching and preaching when people reject it, but we need to not take it personally. Because it's a rejection of the Lord, not a rejection of the person bringing forth the word. He says, if they're not willing to listen to you, they're not going to listen. It's because they don't listen to me. Notice in Jeremiah chapter 29, let's turn there. Jeremiah 29, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations. Chapter 29, verse 18. And this has to do with the Lord declaring what he's going to do to Israel or Judah because of what they've done. He's going to explain why. He's going to explain why. Jeremiah 29:18. And I will pursue them, Jeremiah 29:18, with the sword, with famine, with pestilence, and I will make them a terror to all the kingdoms of the earth, to be a curse and a horror and a hissing and a reproach among all the nations where I have driven them, because they have not listened to my words, declares the Lord, which I sent to them again and again by my servants, the prophets. But you did not listen, declares the Lord. There, you therefore hear the word of the Lord, you, and all you exiles whom I have sent away from Jerusalem to Babylon. They wouldn't listen to God's word. They wouldn't listen. You see? And he's saying, Ezekiel, listen. Don't be like the rebellious house. They don't listen, but you listen. And if you want to serve the Lord, listen to his word. Don't be like those who are rebellious who don't listen. They claim his name, they say it all day long, and yet they don't listen to his word so as to obey it. So as to obey it. Don't be like them. Don't be like them. So the Lord God is on the throne commanding Ezekiel to listen to him and thus obey and not be like those who are unwilling to listen, okay? Now you, son of man, verse 8, chapter 2, listen to what I'm saying to you and do not be like that rebellious house. Let me ask you this. Do you come to the word of God? Do you come to obey what you hear with the intent to obey? To obey the word of God? One thing that helps us see things rightly is seeing the Lord on the throne and recognizing we are frail and we are not capable. You know, we're to work out our salvation with fear and trembling. You know, in Philippians, Paul says it this way, so, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, that's really what it is, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. There's a reverence for the God who is at work in you. Phobos and traumas, because God is at work in you. So obey. I mentioned this earlier. I read it in Matthew chapter 7. But there are those who hear God's word. They hear his word. And now there's two possible responses. Those who hear it and do it, and those who hear it and do not do it. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name and in your name cast out many demons and in your name perform many miracles? We obeyed you. That's what they're saying, basically. We did your work. And then I will declare to them, this is the Lord Jesus speaking, I never knew you. "Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness." Therefore, this is the conclusion of the Sermon on the Mount, the teaching on the Mount. "Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine," that's Jesus' word, "and acts upon them," or literally does them. You gotta be changed. You have to have a changed heart to do God's word. Okay? And he says here, "may be compared to a wise man who built his house upon the rock, and the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, burst against that house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock." You're gonna stand up eternally no matter how bad the storms get. And then he said here, "and everyone who hears these words," hey, these are the people at church. They're hearing God's word. They're claiming to be believers. They're here. They're claiming to be Israelites, trusting the Lord, supposedly. "Hears his words and does not act upon them." The Lord Jesus had just made it clear who were truly blessed. The poor in spirit, those who were spiritually bankrupt, those who had the character of Christ through faith in him, and those who were not to be like those who were the phonies. Hear his word, right? And do it. So then, there's a real problem out there. There's a real problem with people who hear God's word and don't obey. The Lord has a lot to say about it. In James chapter 1, he says, "Prove yourselves doers of the word," verse 22, "and not merely hearers who delude themselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror, and once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what type of person he is." The illustration is, when God's word shows you where you're wrong, shows you who kicks your sin, there should be a change. There should be a desire to confess and get right with the Lord. But these people, they see it, and then they walk away, and they forget who they really are. They forget. "He has immediately forgotten what kind of person he was, but the one who looks intently at the perfect law," the law of liberty, that's the word of God, "and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effectual doer, this man shall be blessed in what he does." You see, before you knew the Lord, you couldn't obey God. And when you received the Lord Jesus Christ, you received his spirit and a new heart and an ability to obey God's word and see things differently, a willingness to be convicted by the Spirit of God and do what's right. And there are those who think they know the Lord who hear his word, but they don't because they don't obey. They don't obey the Lord. So then, we need to confess sin. We need to get right with the Lord before we can obey. We need to receive his word implanted. Now in our passage, let's go back to Ezekiel chapter 2. We're going to see that the Lord gives Ezekiel now an illustration in real time of what it's like to consume the Word of God. Literally, as we're going to see. Okay? He says here, "Now you son of man," verse 8, "listen to what I'm speaking to you, and do not be rebellious like that rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving to you." This is God on the throne directing everything. He's talking to Ezekiel. He's had him stand up. And he's saying, "Open your mouth and eat what I'm giving to you." "Then I looked," verse 9, "behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was in it. And when he had spread it out before me, it was written on front and back, and written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Then he said to me, 'Son of man, eat what you find, eat this scroll, and go speak to the house of Israel.'" So the first thing I think we're going to see about obedience is we need to be those who open our hearts to the Word of God. We need to open our hearts to it. He says, open your mouth. This is an illustration. It's an illustration, you know. The Word is like food for us. It's our spiritual food. And when you open your mouth, you're receiving that food, okay? And open your hearts. Later on, chapter 3, verse 10, if you look at this, he says, "Moreover," he said to me, "son of man, take into your heart all my words which I shall speak to you and listen closely." It's a heart thing. He's going to illustrate it through eating, okay? He's going to illustrate that through receiving, okay? So back in our passage, "then I looked and a hand was extended to me and lo, a scroll was in it." A scroll is like a roll, a parchment that has writing. This one has writing on the front and on the back. It's like a roll. It's a scroll. You know, people talk about having Ezekiel, but how about Ezekiel scrolls? right? Okay, but it's got a scroll here, okay? And here, it's spread up for him and written front and back. And written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. We'll talk about that in a minute. So the first thing, the significance here, is that the Lord is the one giving him the word. The Lord feeds us by His Spirit with His word, and we need to receive it. We need to open our hearts like Ezekiel needs to open his mouth. He says, I looked, and behold, a hand was extended to me, and lo, a scroll was on it. When He, that's the Lord, spread it out before me. The Lord is doing this. It was written on front and back. Okay, a scroll. You got the idea, right? The written word. Okay. This is crucial. The Lord is speaking to him. The Lord is giving him the word. And when you hear the word from the scriptures, the Lord is bringing it to you. You got to remember that. It's not. I'm not saying I'm the Lord. I'm just a servant relaying his words like Ezekiel. But the Lord is the one that is bringing the word. And I think so often we do not see God rightly, thus we don't see his word rightly. You know, if you get pulled over by a police officer, I'm sure you're going to listen to what he has to say because he has authority over you, okay? You're not going to say, forget it, buddy, I'm taking off, right? Well, some do, foolishly and wickedly, but I'm saying a normal person is not going to do that. If you are before a judge in a courtroom who has authority to make decisions over you, you're going to listen to what they have to say. You're not going to ignore that. How much more the God of the universe, who is in control of everything, and he is speaking to us through his word. How much more are we to listen? Are we to listen? We are to open our hearts. Now, here's where it gets sticky. Sometimes what God says from our perspective doesn't sound too good. It doesn't sound like something that we think is good or we would want to do. Give an example here. He says, written on this were lamentations, mourning, and woe. That doesn't sound too good. Folks, and I think this is important, this vision and this symbology to point out that as we see in the New Testament, foreshadowing that God gives us his word in written form. He gives it in written form. It's foreshadowing that. We know from 1 Peter chapter 2, that eventually the scriptures the prophets brought forth, they were recorded in scripture. The word scripture means written word. When you see the word scripture, it's the word graphe, where we get our word graphite, it means written word. And so in 1 Peter 1:20, but know this first of all, that no prophecy of scripture, written word, was a matter of one's own interpretation, for no prophecy was ever made by an act of human will, but men by the Holy Spirit, moved by the Holy Spirit, spoke from God. So we have now the faith once for all delivered to the saints. We have his completed word. We're to receive that. We're to eat it. And don't eat your Bible, okay? But we're to eat it. We're to take it in. We're to take it in. But sometimes what it says may not be so pleasant to us. And what Ezekiel's going to take in isn't too pleasant. It is written on it were lamentations, mourning, and woe. Lamentations, that's a lament. Terrible things happen, it's lamenting over it. Mourning, that's there's crying and wailing over circumstance, whatever it might be. And woe, it's a statement of judgment. So what does this symbolize? Certainly the reality is God's word that he's going to give to Ezekiel and what he's going to share is going to be unpleasant. It's primarily about the fact that God is going to judge Israel's sin, and it's going to bring lamentation, mourning, and woes. But Ezekiel said, well, I want to share a better message. I'm going to share the message I want. Well, that sounds like today's churches, doesn't it? I'm going to share the gospel I want to share. I'm going to share one that has to do with a happy life with Jesus. That's all you need to know. No, you need to know the bad news that you are a sinner and God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world through the man Jesus Christ. Therefore, he's declaring to all men to repent. But the good news is that Jesus Christ bore our sins in his body on the cross. If you trust in him, acknowledging your sin, you will be saved from your sins. There is bad news that people don't want to hear. And people lean on their own understanding. But here, Ezekiel is to take what God says and relay it, regardless of his viewpoint of it. God is a good, compassionate, merciful God on the throne, sovereign and loving. And even though he brings judgment, he is a God who relents if one will repent. You see all throughout his declarations of judgment right next door. Does God take any pleasure in the death of the wicked? Rather, they would repent and live. God is a God who will relent if you repent. Repent, but he will judge. And so the message he's going to bring is not a message of TBN and prosperity. It's not a message of happy life with Jesus. It is a message of judgment and a need to repent, that these Jews who thought they knew the Lord needed to know the Lord truly by repenting and believing in the one seed of Abraham who would come and die for their sins. So then, we don't get to choose what message the Lord gives us. And for us, now we have the completed word. Preach the word, not part of it. I always get bothered by people. My ministry is to go out and share prophecy only. Well, listen, preach the word. When you get to prophecy, praise the Lord. Preach what God says, but preach the word. We don't choose what areas we want that's the most exciting for people. We preach the word of God in season and out of season. Paul said that he did not cease from declaring the whole counsel in Acts chapter 20. Therefore, he had no spiritual blood in his hands. No spiritual blood. So then, Ezekiel is to share this. He's to eat. He's to take in this scroll that has God's word on it, but it's got a word that's lamentations, mourning, and woe. So we need to open our hearts to the word, and then we must be willing to say whatever he says it is, or want to receive it, first of all. And then notice, we need to feed our word, our souls with his word and obey. Chapter 3, verse 1. Then he said to me, son of man, eat what you find. Kind of interesting. You got to look around the scroll. You got to do some work in the word, Ezekiel. Eat what you find. It's an illustration. Eat this scroll and go and speak to the house of Israel. You receive my word in your heart, and you go share it with them. There's no room for your opinion, Ezekiel. It is you take in my word, and he says, speak it to the house of Israel. So verse 2, so I opened my mouth, and he fed me this scroll. It's great. The Lord's feeding him the word. Isn't that great? And he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach and fill your body with the scroll which I'm giving you. Then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. It's quite an amazing illustration as Ezekiel's being called, right? You think God's called you to share the word of God? Well, you need to eat it first. You need to consume it. You need to get it in your heart, your soul. You need to be ready to share his word alone, no matter how difficult it is. You got to be in his word. You got to know his word. You got to study to show yourself to prove. And if God has called you to do that, if he has gifted you to do that, then you share forth his word, not yours. So then here, verse 1, son of man, eat what you find. Eat the scroll and speak to the house of, go and speak to that. So, hey, eat what you find. You got to look for it. Eat it. Find it. Eat it. And then we see here, he's to go and speak it. So we have this physical example of digesting the word, right? It's a physical example. The Lord is having him eat this scroll. And then he's to eat it and he's to go speak forth to the house of Israel. I believe at this point we have receiving the word illustrated. You got to open your mouth. You got to receive it in your heart. You got to digest God's word, not just let it skim around the surface. You need to get it in your heart. To do that, you got to set aside all filthiness and all malice and all that remains of wickedness. Confess sin. If you got sin in your life, you're not going to receive God's word. First of all, you're not saved. You can't receive it. You'll hear the gospel, get convicted, and you can turn to Jesus. But if you are saved, you got to set aside sin and then receive the word implanted. So he says, so I opened my mouth, and it says that he fed me this scroll. Brothers and sisters, when we are coming to the word of God, we got to see this God feeding us spiritually. He is feeding us. God is through his word. He's feeding us what we need for life and godliness. He's feeding us everything we need for our spiritual life and everything for this life. You know, it's the word of God that grows us in respect to salvation. 1 Peter chapter 2, therefore, and again this principle, putting aside all malice, all guile, hypocrisy, and envy, sin aside. You mess up, confess it, set it aside. It says, like newborn babes, long for the pure milk of the word, that so by it you may grow in respect to salvation. It's like God's word is the nutrients you need for spiritual life. Long for it. Long for it. Now, we'll see later on, Ezekiel, there were those who certainly enjoyed sermons, but they didn't obey God's word. We're going to see it's not just longing for it and getting it in your heart, it's obeying it. We're going to see that there should be a change. So he said to me, son of man, feed your stomach. Verse 3, and fill your body with the scroll which I'm giving. Feed yourself the word of God. Fill yourself up. Fill yourself up with the word of God. Let it be overflowing in you. And notice he says, then I ate it, and it was sweet as honey in my mouth. You know, God's word is sweet. Even the difficult stuff is sweet if we're willing to receive it. It's sweet, even if we're willing to receive it. Listen to the Lord and fill your soul with his word. Psalm 1. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. Get it in your heart. Let it dwell richly. 1 Thessalians 2:13. We need to see God's word for what it really is, the word of God, which performs its work in you who believe. You need to see it for what it is. You know, it's easy to take things for granted. It's easy to see things wrongly and to lessen the value of something. Don't do that with God's word. Turn to Psalm 19. Psalm 19. We should be leaving church going, oh, I'm full, right? We should be filled up with the word of God. We should be leaving our studies and our own personal say filled with the word of God. Filled with the word of God. Psalm 19, verse 7. The law of the Lord is perfect, restoring the soul. You got a soul problem? You need God's word. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. You know, you don't need Metzi Pazalazalun for your depression. You need the Lord. You need the Lord. The Lord is the one through his word who changes our hearts and minds. You need the Lord. We need the Lord. Now, again, just a caveat, don't run out and change your medication if you're on it. Go to your doctor, but get in the word of God. Let him get you off it, okay? But get in the word of God. Psalm 19, and he says here, the precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true. They are righteous altogether. They are more desirable than gold, yes, than much fine gold. Look at this. Sweeter also than honey and the drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them thy servant is warned. In keeping them there is great reward. How about Psalm 119, 103? I'll show this. How sweet are thy words to my taste. Yes, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Psalm 119, 104. For thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. The word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Feed yourself with the word of God. It's sweet if your heart's right. Feed yourself with the word of God. It's sweet if your heart is right. So then, what does biblical obedience look like? Well, first of all, we have to have an open heart to the word of God. We need to listen, and then we need to receive it and get it in our hearts. You got to get it in your heart. And then we're going to see there is a response. When we believe what God's word is, it's going to result in a changed heart that desires to obey. Okay? Notice chapter 3, verse 4. Then he said to me, son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak my words to them. So now he's saying, here's what you're going to do. If you've been fed the word of God, you're to listen. You're to fill your souls, we'll see. Now go to them. And notice he explains, says, for you are not being sent to a people, that would be speaking of one nation, a people of an unintelligible speech or difficult language. Hey, a people you can't understand their language, it's hard to understand, it's hard to learn. He's not saying that. He's not saying sending him to that. But to the house of Israel. Nor to many peoples, many different nations, basically that's what he's saying, not to one nation or to many nations, of unintelligible speech or difficult language, whose words you cannot understand. But I have sent you to them who should listen to you, yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you, since they are not willing to listen to me. Surely the whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate." He'd obey God's word, not fearing and knowing that he'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you. He'll strengthen you for the task. Whatever it is, if he's called you to preach, he's going to strengthen you for the response. He's called you to serve and obey. He's going to strengthen you for however people respond around you. He's called you in your relationships to obey him. He's going to strengthen you to endure what he's called you to endure when difficulties come. He's going to strengthen you. So here he says, hey, I'm not sending you to people that you can't understand their language or peoples. I'm not sending people that you can't, that it's hard to learn. They didn't have that, like, whatever that thing is, Rosebuds, what's that called? That language program? I don't know. Rosetta Stone, that's right. The new one called Rosebuds, all right. Ezekiel, I'm not sending you to the jungles of New Guinea where you don't understand their language and they're difficult to learn. I'm sending you to the house of Israel. And look at this, house of Israel, middle of verse 4. House of Israel, end of verse 5. House of Israel, beginning of verse 7. House of Israel, middle of verse 7. He's making a point. And he's sending them to the ones that's in his midst. In his midst. The Lord is on the throne. Ezekiel's on a mission to his own people who are in exile. He's being sent by God to them. And they should listen, but they won't. Yet the house of Israel will not be willing to listen to you. They should listen, verse 6, should listen. Hey, they name the name of the Lord. Just like, you know, you talk to somebody who says, yeah, I go to church, I'm a Christian. And you talk about things about the Lord, and they're like, you know, and they kind of just say, yeah, great, bye, you know. They should listen. They should want to hear the things of the Lord. But they don't. Something's wrong. Something's wrong, and what it is they're not wanting to listen to the Lord. When people don't want to hear God's word, they don't want to hear the word of God through his people, they don't want to hear his word. Yet the house of Israel, verse 7, will not be willing to listen to you since they are not willing to listen to me. And I shared those verses earlier that showed that was their problem. They would not listen to the prophets. They would not listen to God and thus respond and turn from their evil ways. They wouldn't listen. And my brothers who are preachers and teachers, it can be quite discouraging at times when it appears so few people want to hear the word of God. So many people might be tempted by Satan to take it personally. Might be tempted to change your strategy, quote unquote, to that people might listen. Don't do it. Preach the word in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with great patience and instruction, knowing that the time's going to come when they're not going to listen. You know that. They're not going to do a sound doctrine. And they're not listening because of you. They're not listening because they don't want to hear God's word. If you're preaching it by his spirit, that's why. Yet they will not be willing to listen to you since they will not want to listen to me. So then, I'm sending you, speak my word whether they listen or not. That is not a determiner. How you respond does not determine what I am to say. How the church responds to the pastors and teachers is not determine what they say. Don't ever fall into that evil, sinful, wicked, satanic trap. The fear of man brings a snare. The Apostle Paul said in Galatians 1, if I wanted to please men, I wouldn't be a bondservant of Christ. Well, a lot of people aren't bondservants because they're man pleasers. See that. And notice he says he's to speak whether they listen or not. He's being warned that he would not be well received. And we've been warned that. I alluded to it in 2 Timothy 4. I've alluded to it already, that we're to preach the word in season and out of season. We know from 2 Timothy 3, evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse. We know that. But what are we to do? We're to preach the word. Regardless if it is the smell of death to those who claim God's name but are perishing. Regardless if that's what it is. Who's adequate for these things? Not that we're adequate to consider anything that's coming from ourselves, but our adequacy is from God. 2 Corinthians 3. So are you willing to serve the Lord faithfully without the expectation of temporal results? Are you willing to do that? We have to. Praise the Lord when the results come. Angels rejoice when one sinner repents. Praise the Lord. But sometimes God puts us in a place in His sovereignty where they're not going to listen. And they're not going to respond. Are you willing to be obedient? Or are you going to just make up your own direction, do your own thing? We need to obey the Lord without expectations of results and leave those in the Lord's hands. And guess what? When we obey the Lord, sometimes the people we minister to might become difficult. We saw last week that they're going to be like thorns and thistles, like sitting on scorpions. That sounds like a fun ministry, right? No, it sounds horrible. These people are going to be like thorns in your side and like sitting down on a scorpion. Not good. But the Lord is going to strengthen Ezekiel. Notice this. He's going to strengthen him to deal with their hardness. He's going to strengthen him so that he will not become dismayed or fear. And we need to know the Lord will strengthen us for who we minister to. Behold, verse 8, I have made your face as hard as their faces. Hey, they're hard. He said, and your forehead as hard as their foreheads. They're hardened. He's using an illustration here. I'm hardening you, Ezekiel, so that you don't fall because they're hard. Okay? Like emery, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Remember what Ezekiel's name means? God strengthens. You need strength. And you need strength. You're in a marriage where you're being obedient, your husband's not saved, whatever it might be, you need strength to do the right thing. You're in relationships that are messed up, you know, because of non-believers or those who make believers, you need strength. You serving in the Lord in the church and there seems to be opposition, you need strength. Whatever God has called you to do, He's going to enable you and strengthen you for what you need to get through it. Remember, He's a good God. He's not a bad God, He's a good God. And guess what? He will take the difficult things and even turn those for good. Take a look at 2 Corinthians 12. And therefore, we need to see things differently. So when you look later on, you say, wow, Ezekiel's doing pretty good against all this bad stuff. Well, don't forget, the Lord said, I'm going to make your head hard. I'm going to make your forehead hard. I'm strengthening you. The Lord did it. The Lord did it. 2 Corinthians 12, this is after Paul had shared this vision he had, experience he had. And he says in 2 Corinthians 12:8, concerning this, I entreated the Lord three times, and the thorn in the flesh that was given to him to keep from exalting himself. I was entreated the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he, verse 9 of 2 Corinthians 12, has said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I'd rather boast about my weaknesses, that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weakness, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. He's saying, these things make me weak. They make me trust the Lord. And when I trust Him, I'm strong. When I'm weak, I'm strong, right? Praise the Lord. God's grace is sufficient. And then notice back in our passage, not only will the Lord strengthen, but Ezekiel is not to fear them. He's not to be dismayed. Middle of verse 9, do not be afraid of them. That's the Israelites who claim to follow the Lord, but He's going to minister to and they won't listen. Do not be afraid of them or be dismayed before them, for they are a rebellious house. Don't be afraid of them because they are rebels. They're not on God's side. They're not my people. He's saying they're a rebellious house. You're with me. They're over there. Don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. Remember we saw in verse 6, and you, son of man, neither fear them nor their words. Though thistles and thorns were with you, you sit on scorpions. Neither fear their words nor be dismayed at their presence, for they're a rebellious house. Don't fear the words of those who pretend to follow the Lord but reject His word and won't listen. Don't fear them. Don't fear them. Hey, their words are stinging. It's like sitting on scorpions. Okay, it's like thistles. It's not going to be fun, but don't fear them. And He also talks about don't be dismayed before them. He said that, and then in verse 6, dismayed in their presence. God does not want you to fall apart in front of them. Don't fall apart in front of them. You represent me. I'm going to strengthen you. Don't be dismayed before them. Don't be dismayed in their presence. Dismayed means to have basically an emotional break. The word dismay means to be broken. Don't be broken. We got all this PTSD stuff, broken people. Well, they need the Lord. Ezekiel, you're going to have all kinds of reasons to say you got PTSD. But no, don't be that way. Don't fear them. Don't be dismayed. Brothers and sisters, no matter what you're going through, no matter what has happened to you, the Lord will strengthen you. Don't buy the world's view of how to be repaired emotionally, whatever it is. You need the Lord. He will strengthen you. He will protect you. He says, do not fear or be dismayed. Don't be dismayed before them. Though they are, end of verse 9, a rebellious house. Why would they do such evil? They're in rebellion. That's why. Because they don't listen to the Lord. They're rebelling because they don't listen. They're rebelling against God, not you. They're rebelling against God. Now notice we have the call that he has reiterated for us more plainly, more clearly in verse 10. Moreover, he said to me, son of man, take into your heart all my words which I shall speak to you and listen closely. There you go. Plain clear. Take into your heart everything God's going to say and listen carefully. You know, when things are important, we listen carefully. Or when we value or deem them to be important, we listen carefully. Listen carefully. You want to obey the Lord God? Obey His word, or bring His word into your heart and listen carefully. Do you take it seriously? And he says here, and again it's being reiterated, verse 11, and go to the exiles, that's the guys that are right around you, to the sons of your people, they're Jews, they name the name of the Lord, speak to them and tell them, whether they listen or not, thus says the Lord. Whether they listen or not, share God's word, thus says the Lord. And lastly, I believe this last portion here is an encouragement for Ezekiel that whether they listen or not, when you obey the Lord and you do His work, trusting Him, filling yourself with His word, that all heaven is on your side. All heaven is on your side. Look at this. Then the Spirit, verse 12, lifted me up and I heard a great rumbling sound behind me. Remember, this is a vision. Remember, he has seen this storm coming with lightning and all the stuff in the, and there's inside, there's the glowing metal and it's coming from the north. And then he sees this vision of these angels with the wheels and the eyes and moving, doing God's will perfectly. And then the expanse and the Lord over that. Now, look what happens here. I heard a great rumbling sound and then notice this, the sound is associated with this. Blessed be the glory of the Lord in his place. Amen. And I heard the sound of the wings of the living beings touching one another. Hey, remember when they're on the move, their wings are moving, right? And they would stop when they're not in the move, right? They're on the move. And they got Ezekiel here, as you're going to see. And the sound of the wheels behind them, even a great rumbling. Hey, God is intervening on the events on earth. Okay? So the Spirit lifted me up and took me away. And I went embittered in the rage of my spirit. And the hand of the Lord was strong on me. Then I came to the exiles who lived beside the river Shebar at Tel Abib, and I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. So what's happening here? Again, Ezekiel's being caught up in this vision of what God is doing through his angelic beings, and they're praising God with the glory of God, and he is being caught. The Spirit has taken him up, and the wheels are moving, and things are happening, and he is part of this. When you obey God, you're part of something way bigger than what you think. First of all, the Lord is on your side. And that's the most important thing. You know, I love this passage, and you can turn there to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. And this is Asa, the king. He obeyed, and then he didn't obey. And God's saying, hey, here's what's going on here, Asa. 2 Chronicles 16:7. At that time, Hananiah the seer came to Asa the king, to be a prophet, came to Asa the king of Judah and said to him, because you have relied on the king of Aram and not relied on the Lord your God. Hey, he trusted man as the king in Israel's dealings with other nations. He says, therefore the army of the king of Aram has escaped out of your hand. Hey, you lost the battle. They escaped because you relied on them, not yourself, not the Lord. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans an immense army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet now in this circumstance, God's reminding you, when, because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. Hey, when you relied on the Lord, God delivered them in your hand, King Asa. And then he says here, for the eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth that he may strongly support those whose heart is completely his. He'll strongly support you when you do the right thing, no matter what happens. Now he's going to say, Asa, hey, from this point on, you got more wars because you blew it. Well, don't, let's not be like Asa. Let's trust the Lord. Trust the Lord in what you're doing, in your job, in your relationships. As you serve the Lord, trust him, rely on him, and all heaven is on your side. The eyes of the Lord move to and fro throughout the earth to strongly support. And this picture for Ezekiel is this grand vision of God on the throne, and all the workings of his angelic majesties are on your side, Ezekiel. Yes, it's going to be tough, but God's on your side. And we need to see that. When you're obeying the Lord God in your marriage, you're obeying the Lord God at work, when you're obeying God, Lord God at church, when you're obeying him, he's strongly supporting you. Now notice one weird thing here. I might think it's weird, but it says that he went away embittered in the rage of my spirit, and the hand of the Lord was strong on him. I think he is embittered in the fact that Israel isn't going to respond. He's embittered in the fact of the judgment that's going to come. That he's taken this in, and it's brought this, and he's been strengthened to deal with them. To deal with them. Then he says, then I came to the exiles that live, verse 15, beside the river Shebar at Tel Abib, and I sat there 7 days where they were living, causing consternation among them. We're going to see Ezekiel speaks when God wants him to speak. He didn't just run out and say, look what vision I saw. He waited 7 days. The Lord was going to tell him when to speak. You know, God says for us to do something, but we got to trust him when to do it. We run out and do stuff on our own. Trust the Lord. So then, do you realize when you trust the Lord and obey him, all of heaven is on your side? Strongly support. His eyes move to and fro to strongly support those whose heart is completely his. And we will see he strongly supports Ezekiel in this very difficult ministry, which is ultimately a blessing because it shares God's judgment against sin, but his grace and mercy for those who will repent, and that he will reign on the throne, although others seem to be reigning now. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word, and I just pray that we'd be encouraged that when we obey you, when we listen and we take into our hearts your word, we allow it to dwell richly, and we feed on it, and we get filled with it, Lord God, that you use us for your glory, and that you call us to do what you want us to do, and it's an amazing, wonderful thing to be your servant, although it might be difficult. Lord, thank you that in whatever we do and how we serve you at church and how we serve you in every circumstance, that if we trust you, you will strongly support us. So I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name.